Welcome to Passion and Purpose with Pamela, celebrating all things woman. I'm Dr. Pamela Hardy Shepherd, here to ignite inspiration through conversations that spotlight women's power and their journeys. Let's share our light, our stories, and create a space of celebration for every woman. Here's to embracing our womanhood together. Welcome to Passion and Purpose with Pamela. Today, we are really thrilled to feature Dr. Shonda Nicole Posley, a dedicated health services administrator with over 27 years of experience in public health. Dr. Hosley's unwavering dedication to pediatric asthma education and community service is truly inspiring. She has made significant strides in the field, contributing extensively through research, publications, and professional presentations. Dr. Hosley, residing on Fleming Island, Florida, is a certified asthma educator and a contributing faculty member at Nova Southeastern University. Her rich academic background, including a doctor of public health in maternal and child health, and her ability to secure over $100,000 in funding for various health initiatives is truly impressive. Dr. Hosley's commitment to mentoring and community involvement is a testament to her values. She volunteers on several boards, including the National Asthma Educator Certification Board and her local YMCA Advisory Board. Her motto, Walk with Wisdom, guides her in all her endeavors, from mentoring young professionals to raising monarch butterflies. Join us as we dive into Dr. Hosley's incredible journey, exploring her passion for public health, impactful work, and wisdom she brings to every aspect of her life. We hope her story inspires you to learn more about public health and consider getting involved in initiatives that make a difference. Welcome, Dr. Shonda Nicole Hosley. Dr. Hosley, we are so pleased that you are here. I just introduced you, and I was wondering if you would tell the audience, the listeners, a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you for that introduction. And thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm so honored. When I received your email, I was just overjoyed. And I said, sure, I'd do it. I couldn't wait. So it's good to connect. What I like to tell people about me is that before I was anything, before I had any degrees or anything, I was a Head Start kid. I was a Head Start graduate. And for your audience members that may not know what that is, that's a preschool program that also focuses on socialization, interaction, engagement for children. So I started off with not a lot of means, but I had a loving mom and family who really preached the importance of an education, and it all started at Head Start. So that's what I like to say as far as an introduction, and then the other things could come, but I think that that's critically important.
It really is. Many people may not know what it is, but there's so many children that would not be ready for school without Head Start. My son went to Head Start and I loved it. And so kudos to your mom and the Head Start program. And we know how many lives it has changed. So starting with the Head Start, and then just kind of give us who you are, because I know you're a very dynamic woman and I just cannot wait to hear your story and let the listeners hear your story. So just tell us about yourself.
Okay, I'll start. So this is a fun fact. Currently, I live in Japan. I live in Sasebo, Japan. I'm a Navy spouse. My husband is stationed over here, so I'm a spouse. I'm a mom. I'm a mom of two daughters who I absolutely adore. Something that's no secret, I was not raised by my biological mom, so I've always wanted that corrective experience. So I have had that with just raising my two girls and just pouring into them and ensuring that they become quality citizens. And thus far, that has been like the most shining thing that I'm proud of in my life. I was always gifted. So I thank God for those natural academic talents. And so, like through grade school and junior high school, I was raised in inner city Los Angeles, South Central Los Angeles. Now it's known as South LA. But I had the benefit of being bused to some other programs. So I was in magnet schools and went to a magnet high school. And just I engaged with a variety of people, different backgrounds. And so I've learned how to engage with, people of different backgrounds, colors, creeds, that kind of thing. So I think that really has helped me in my life and just engaging with others. And where we met, I went to school, I went to college. That was one of the dreams of my mom. There were five of us. So I had five other siblings. So there were six of us growing up. And she always taught us the value of an education. And her, strong African American mom really realized that education was critical to having a good life. And she instilled in us, do that. That's something that once you earn it, no one can take it away from you. And that's something that you can use to propel yourself in life. And I listened. And she's no longer with us, but I remember her telling me one day, she was so proud of me. She said, "You did exactly as I asked. You did it. You got it. I'm so proud of you." And that just made me feel special. So, and where we met, went to San Diego State University, and my psychology major. I've always been interested in children, so I wanted to go into developmental psychology, and it transitioned a little bit because I ended up going into public health and focusing on maternal and child health. But it's still, still some of the same concepts I learned, and it was a very good transitional career for me. And so ended up at Emory University to complete my master's in public health. And then I went to U University of Alabama at Birmingham and completed my doctor of public health with the maternal and child health emphasis. And so that's me educationally, but there are a lot of things that can explain, like you said, dynamic. There are a lot of things that kind of can explain my trajectory of life. I will say this, and then I'll see what you have to say, but one thing that it allowed me to have this life that I am currently living, which is a work from home mom. And that's something that I distinguish because there are some stay-at-home moms. That's great. However, I am a work from home mom, and that was purposeful for me because I did experience a stillbirth, and that changed my entire life, and that made me want to be there physically for my daughter Savannah at the time. So I needed to find something to where I could work from home. This is before COVID. So I was doing it long before then, but just to be there to see all of her first, that was very important to me. Her first steps, her first walks, her first day at school. And I was able to do that. And so I'm so grateful for that.
And you say some really powerful things is being present and being the best mom that you could be. And I have just enveloped everything that you are saying because I remember when you were getting ready to go to Japan, and I was like, yes. And they can learn these languages because I had a friend. We ended up going on, we went to New York, and we were going to Good Morning America. And I
Yes.
will never, ever, ever forget this. And they would go around. We were at the end of the line. We really didn't know that you had to get reservations and do all these things. So they go through and they would ask people, "What do you do? What do you do?" And she said, "I sing and dance." I said, No. You know how to speak Japanese." They moved us all the way from the end of the line. When I say the end of the line, it was outside around the corner of the building in the alley to on the show where she said a Good Morning America in Japanese. I will never forget that. And that stuck with me. And I look at your daughters and they have this ability to learn this language, to be in another country, to experience. You're giving them experiences they will never forget. And if you could share a little bit about that, I know military life is not always easy, but it does have some perks. And if you could share that and how that plays into your role as a mom, as an administrator, and all of those kind of things, if you could.
It's so funny. And thank you for sharing that story. I'll say this about Savannah, my oldest daughter. She's a junior now, and she has taken 2 years of Japanese and ready for her third year. But sometimes when we are out in restaurants, I am just amazed because she has the dialect down. She's like, she can order for us, and I'm just so proud of her. It's
Oh
funny.
my goodness.
Sometimes when I say something, she's like, "Mom, you're not saying it right." I'm like, "Well, at least I've tried, you know." So, but it is. I'm grateful for the opportunity for them. But it's so funny. Somebody, because Pam and we're friends. There was some trepidation about me coming. And I was fearful. I was scared because, and it's not that I'm a controlling person, but things were just kind of going along and. The girls had plans. I'm doing my thing over here, and it was a disruption. And I sought counsel, and you were one of the persons that I sought counsel from. And one person even said, "Well, you're married to somebody in the Navy. You never thought you live overseas." And I'm like, "No, I never did," because we were kind of atypical in that we didn't really move around that much because my husband was able to do sea duty and shore duty, kind of like in the same area, so we weren't really that impacted. But he's on the, transitioning out of this career, and so this is an opportunity for him to end his career and us to come. And so, just talking to sage women, my mom is no longer with us, like I said, but talking to sage women, you, some of my sorority sisters, some people that have, are currently in the service, they want to keep the family together, and. I said, okay, let's do it. And I didn't have to worry about the career because I work from home anyway. We'll talk more about that. But so it wasn't a disruption there, but it was more about the girls and them matriculating to a different school and that kind of thing. So we had the family meeting and we said, let's do it. And because I'm not your typical Navy spouse, I had worked it out with my husband to where we were gonna just do 2 academic years here. Although he was stationed, his orders are 3 years. And just because I didn't, Savannah's is junior this year, so I wanted her to just have the 2 years here and then finish school with her cohorts back in Florida. But we all liked it so much, we've extended our stays. Actually, Savannah kind of drove that and we kind of followed along and we're here for even longer because
Oh
it's just
my
been
goodness.
so phenomenal. I was the chair of the student advisory council at the elementary school. That's where Aaron is now, a middle schooler, but I was the chair for that committee, the co-chair the year before and the chair the last year that she was there, and was able to implement some things like working on bus safety and developed like a social media presence, a more of a marketing presence so people would know, that we're there for them because it's something that's required by Congress. So I'm an advocate. I love children. I love policy. So I've been able to do some things here. And there's a saying in the service, bloom where you're planted. So I've been able to do that. So it's been quite a great experience.
I am so happy to hear that. I mean, just looking at the things that you do. I knew if anybody would bloom, it would be you and your family. I mean, it just gives you such a worldly view, and for your children, it is just phenomenal, and to be able to do that, I will never forget it. It will live with myself and my children for the rest of their lives because how many opportunities do you get to live outside the country? Traveling is great, and I love to travel. However, living somewhere, you get steeped in the culture and you learn history, historical things, and you just learn the culture and the language and just be with the people. And I love that you all have done that for yourselves and your children. And listen, people, this is something she's gonna tell you a whole lot of things. So I don't want to get her off on that, but I definitely applaud you in your decision, you and your husband's decision. I really do. I do.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you said that historical word. My husband and I, we haven't had a lot of alone time, but we just took the opportunity this past weekend to travel to Nagasaki. We're in Sasebo. It's closer to South Korea than it is to Tokyo, but Nagasaki is a larger city near us. And it was one of the two areas where the atomic bomb hit. So we went to the museum, the Peace Park, and just learned. I mean, there's so much richness in that city. And I post a lot on Facebook, kind of chronicling our time here. And I put a lot of information about that. And people were like, thank you for sharing, because I think people appreciate that too. So it is, like you said, steeped in the culture. We live off base. So I live in a cho, in a community where I engage with Japanese nationals. And it's just a wonderful opportunity and feeling. I need to share this. There's a little lady that I just love to see. She's outside sometimes working in the garden. She doesn't know me from Eve, but I've just when I see her, when I walk Tweety, she's so happy. Oh, you know, I got that. Come, you know, she's just so pleasant. And I hadn't seen her for like a couple months. And I concerned. I'm like, I hope she's okay. I hope she's not sick or anything. So I started taking her flowers, and I would just leave the flowers and just do a translated note in Google Translate and leave it for her. And then one day she was out, and she said, you know, her daughter was there, so she daughter translated for us. But she's like, you left me my note. Thank you for the flowers, and it was just so nice. And she hugged me. And I love seeing her, and just, you know, she's just such a sweet lady. And I just said, she brings me joy. I just want to know if she was okay. And they said she was just having some trouble with her knees. But it was so good to know that, you know. But when I walk past her, every time I look for her, and it makes me smile. I call her my little lady.
Oh my goodness. I love that because, you know, a lot of times we think things are for us and they're also for other people. You know, I had a Japanese foreign exchange student, so she had never, you know, lived with a black family before. And so so there are things, it's very helpful to be able to do things like that. Because a lot of times when we go through things in life, we think it's for ourselves, but many times it's to help other people as well. And I love that. And that you checked on her and you made a difference, the purpose. Oh my goodness. So
Yes.
tell us about working from home, if you would.
I love this because I believe in God, and I believe that He ha has a, His hand on my life, and I believe that things happen as they should. And so, back to Savannah was born in 2008, and we had been married for about a year, so. You know, came shortly after our marriage. We were in California at the time. And my stillbirth happened in 2006. It wasn't with another partner. But, you know, that it resonates with me. You know, it resonated with me. And it's like, you know, I want to do everything that I can to make sure she's fine, you know, that I'm there for her. And so what happened was my background, too, I'm a certified asthma educator. So when I was at Emory, and well, when I was at Emory and then UAB, I worked at Grady Hospitals, one of the hospitals for the indigent there in Atlanta, and I was a clinical asthma educator, and so had that background, and I met a pulmonologist, well, allergist, Dr. Holloway at the time, and he was involved with the National Medical Association, which is Association for Black Physicians. And they were developing a program where they looked at managing asthma from the entire spectrum, and they wanted the feedback from a clinical asthma educator. So he asked me to speak at their convention and help them develop the curriculum for it. So I did that. So I did that for a couple years. And I had an infant with me. My mom was alive at the time, so she traveled with me. And there were some things going on administratively where I said, I could make a difference, right? And I told Dr. Holloway, I said, hey, because I worked for him too. I did my after I finished school, I worked with him for a year to implement an NIH funded program in asthma. And so I said, hey, if you ever need me, let me know, because you know my work ethic, my broad range of knowledge, administration, the one-on-one direct contact, that kind of thing. And I put that bug in his ear. And do you know, Pam? I don't know if you know this, because I was also teaching at San Diego State. You know that because you
I know.
babysit my daughter was. But a year later, I received a phone call because Dr. Holloway was the chair at the time, but they transitioned chairs annually. And I received a call from the new chair, Dr. Thomas Scott. He was like, hey, I got your information from Dr. Holloway. We understand that you're interested in being the executive for our section, asthma, allergy, and immunology section of the NMA. And I said, yeah, sure. So we interviewed. He's like, yeah, this is great. I'm good. He was like, but it's a package deal. You must also work with the internal medicine section. And I said, oh, okay. And this is the largest section of the National Medical Association. Allergy is kind of small, and it was like it was going to be like a contract or whatnot. And he's like, you need to interview with this person too, Dr. Osei. I said, okay, sure. Killed it. I didn't really hear back anything, but I told him, I said, this, look, this might work or whatnot. So a couple of weeks later, I received this big packet in the mail. I said, this must be the contract. Because I didn't know. They didn't let me know either
Didn't
way. I just
see.
received this contract. But here's the blessing. Because of the internal medicine section that I had no idea about, that was enough to sustain me. And so I did some online teaching for some other schools, but that contract didn't. And that was like in 2009.
Wow.
And I've been with them ever since, and I've just been growing programs. I've been able to get some a national NIH grant for the internal medicine section, just expand. And so I've been able to use all of my education, from the universities, the work that I've done on the front lines and all of that, and have just been able to incorporate it into that contract. And it's been like out of this world. And I just think, and that enabled me to stay home. So I travel for our conventions and maybe some meetings here or there, but primarily I work from home. And so what I do is I help to develop continuing medical education for the physicians and healthcare providers, write grants. I have to reconcile those grants, write reports. So just, utilizing all of the skills that I've learned, training,
Yes.
and asthma is one of my passions, so I've been focusing on that. And then with internal medicine comes an array of topics that also benefit, the whole person, and women and child health issues as well.
I did not know that. And
I
I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That is
I
awesome.
know.
That
I
is
said, that's
awesome.
nothing but God.
It
I said,
is.
oh,
Oh my goodness. And
yes.
think about it. Our steps are ordered. They are ordered. And sometimes it doesn't, it's like, I don't know what this is about. And you don't know. Like they didn't get back to you. And you didn't go down in a hole and say, well, I guess I'm not going to get it. I mean, and it just, the packages showed up. You see, when it's meant for you to have something, the door will be open. When it's not meant for you to have something, the door will shut and another window will open. And we as women have to believe in who we are and our God-given gifts, and that what we've been blessed with, everybody isn't going to see them or know what they are, but it's also for us to put them out there. And you've always been this talented, engaging person. I we used to have long conversations, and I would always think, I said, she's so ahead of her time. I don't even know if she knows it, but you've always been ahead of your time. You used to ask me questions and would stump me, like, is that like right? But we've always had that amazing relationship, and I am so very proud of you and what you have accomplished and what you will continue to accomplish. And if you had something to say to somebody who is unsure of their path or their purpose, what would you say to them? What would you tell them?
Yes. Thank you for that question. That's a good question. One thing that and this is actually what I say to my children, because I think that it's important to have self-confidence and advocate for yourself. I've learned and I've lived that the answer could be yes or no. There are two options, right? Generally. And so, but if you don't ask, you will not know. I mean, think about, how I earned the job with the NMA. I told Dr. Holloway, I said, hey, I see some things. I think I can make a difference. Let me know,
Wow.
someone. And he remembered that. And so I can only imagine when they were having their conversations, he's like, I know someone. And then just always, I think, like, if you are passionate about something, I mean, you've heard this before. If you're passionate about something, it's not like work, because it's your life's gifts. I'm happy in that I am able to use my gifts in what I do. I took a spiritual gifts class when I was in Atlanta. I grew a lot in Atlanta. When I was in Atlanta at Green Forest Baptist Church, and my three primary gifts were faith, mercy, and administration.
Wow.
And I see that thread all throughout my life. That was spot on. And I mean, and it's just like, I'm a health administrator for a living. And I'm just also, just showing grace to people is what I do, and just having faith things will work out. But I would tell people, if you're not confident, do the work to help you become confident. I wasn't always confident. I went through some mental health counseling sessions, did some things where I had to work on me. I put in the work, because sometimes people walk in, midway through your life and they think, oh my gosh, she got it all together. But it took steps to get here. Do some things. I'm sorry, that's my dog messing with my stop, Judy. It's and it's bright out here. You see, it's morning time in Japan. But do some things to make you confident in yourself, and then self-advocate.
So when you say do some things, some things like what? Because I'm asking because, listeners may not be clear. And I just asked the question because honestly, when somebody has told you you won't amount to much, you're not smart, what do you think you know? And somehow you take that in and you believe it. What are some of the things that people can do? Or I'm going to say women first and foremost, can do to help themselves begin to believe, I can do this. Because you said something about, and I'm going to say it this way, it's either yes or no, right? You said yes or no. And I was always taught a closed mouth does not get fed. All you can do is tell me no. Why would I tell myself no? But how do I get there? How do I get myself there? Can you just any advice on
Yeah. I'm an open book. I could just speak from my experience, and hopefully it could help someone. But and I'll start, when I mentioned I was not raised by my birth mom. We have a great relationship now. I will say that that's a blessing. But that instilled in me abandonment issues, right? And so I dealt with that as a child, you know, I had a loving mom who imparted wisdom and love into my life. However, those were still issues that I had to deal with. And I personally sought out a counselor when I was in college. When I was at San Diego State, I had Kaiser Insurance, and I needed to do that for me. And she gave, I actually just told, I look, I just shared this with Savannah and Aaron because I did a, I posted a picture of them and I put hashtag corrective experience. And they said, Mom, what is that? So what, you know, I said, what does that mean or whatever? And they, you know, they told me what they thought it meant. I was like, yeah. When I was, and I shared these exact words, when I was in college, I went to a counselor, Miss Cherie, and she said, you want, she coined the term for me. She said, you want the corrective experience. And I said, I do, because I've always, I guess I just wanted to get it right for me and for my children. And I, it started there. And then like just kind of found, finding what I was good at. Like I told you, I was always good in academics. So I always got good grades. And then as you know, we were part of a research project there. And so I was able to actually publish papers, academic papers as a
Undergrad.
as an undergraduate student, go to APA, you know, professional meetings as an undergraduate student, present. So just doing those things, and that helped me become more and more confident, more secure in myself. And what I also said to you was, I am a believer. So and really holding on to God's word, and knowing that I am valuable, you know, and He wants what's best for me. And so it was just like a combination of those things. And, you know, just aligning yourself with people who are supportive. There are going to be naysayers in your life, and you need to listen to, you know, different opinions, you know, that helps you grow. But if there's somebody that you know that just is not for you, then there's a way to ask them, you know, have them exit your life or whatnot. So those are the things for me. And like I mentioned Atlanta a lot because I feel like that was my rite of passage. That's when I really became my own woman, because my most of my family's in California. I went all the way to Georgia, and but I just rocked it. You know, I was able to purchase my first home. Just listening to people, listening to wise counsel, and just knowing where I wanted to go in my life. So that's how I've been doing
And a
it.
lot like you aligned yourself with people, and there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors, and who's in your circle is so important. You know, if you're always it with someone, and when you leave there, it's like brushing something off of you. You want to think about that relationship again. You know, like maybe not. It doesn't mean that you do not love them, but I had to go all the way to Jamaica to learn how to say no. Debrina Jackson Gandy, and I give her credit for this. She says sometimes you have to put people on public transportation. You get them a ticket and you put them on public transportation. It doesn't mean that you don't love them, but you need to put them over there. They don't need to be on the front seat of your vehicle. And that stuck with me because I'm a visual person. So I see the
Yes.
convertible, right? And I see this person that has no business sitting on the front seat, the top's down, the wind's blowing your hair. And it's like, I'm gonna get them a ticket and put them on public transportation.
Yes.
So,
And I remember one of my friends in Jacksonville, Kristen and Nicole, we both go by our middle names sometimes, so, and we're both from California, but I can't think of the name of the author right now, but she recommended the book Your Best Yes. Because I was having some struggles at the time. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. And she's just like, you need to read this book. And it helped, you know, it helped me to think about, okay, I have to give my best yes. And sometimes it's gonna be a no, and that's okay. And that helped as well, because I'm this person that, you know, I aspire to do great things, and you know, just driven, you know, my circadian rhythm is, you know, but sometimes it's good to just say pause, you know, and just focus on really what I'd like to focus on.
that because sometimes, as women, a lot of times we'll justify, we'll say yes. And really, like you said, we should say no. And she taught us, Debrina Jackson Gandy taught us to say no without justification. No, that doesn't work for me. And that's it. You don't have to say, well, I've got this meeting, I got this. So I came all the way back to California, going to say my no. And the hair stood up on the back of my neck because it's like, can you go to this meeting? And it's like, my plate is full. And I said, I'm unable to do that. It doesn't work for me. And they looked at me like they were going to get some more. And it's like, you're not getting any more. And I was like, yes.
No is a complete sentence.
It is.
And that's for real.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. This is so fun. It's so fun. Some other things we want to talk about. We talked about your degrees. We talked about, I know you volunteer a lot and you're on different boards. Could you tell us a little bit about your volunteerism? Get it out.
Yes, and I am. I've kind of slowed down a little bit since I've been here, but one of the things that's right at the top of mind, actually, I had an executive committee meeting before this, but I am a charter member for a chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated in Clay County, Florida. Yeah, and it was like 4 years in the making. And that was one of the things when I talked about some things I had going on in Florida before I left. That was one of the things that was really top of mind. We had to take a little lull and things got back on track. And it worked out to where I was still able to go to Florida in April for the chartering ceremony. I'm a chair of a committee. I'm able to do a lot of the meetings virtually, and I'll be back. We're leaving here in December, so it's like not really skipping a beat. So as being a member of the Divine Nine, we do a lot of things for our community. There was when I moved to Jacksonville, there was not a chapter in Clay County, and Clay County is about maybe 40, 50 minutes from Jacksonville. So a lot of the members had to drive there, and then there were no opportunities for children, that were sorority led in that county. So a couple of sorors and myself, we got together to kind of spearhead us developing a chapter there. And so I'm happy about that. I'm really excited about that. So, and then I've been on Head Start boards. I've been the physical and health chair for a couple of different Head Starts in Atlanta. And again, when I go back to Florida, there's one that I'm going to get involved with that's not too far from my home. I was on the Clay Education Foundation board, was the secretary for that board. And just a lot of the things that I do focus on children. And so those are some of the things I do. So, like I said, right now I'm not doing too much. I'm the immediate past chair for the SAC at Sasebo Elementary School here. And and most recently here too, I became an American Red Cross volunteer. And I actually did that because, well, I did that to help Savannah because she needed volunteer. She wants to apply for the National Honor Society. She needs volunteer opportunities. I said, well, let's do it together. And I even got my dog involved, Tweety, because they have an animal program where they go out and service support animals. And so she completed her training and everything. So it's a whole family affair. So,
Goodness. Oh my goodness. So please tell us, like, I'm sitting at home and I'm listening, and I really would like to do more. How do you get involved, excuse me, in different boards? Could you maybe share that a little bit?
And that's the thing, like looking at your circle of influence. I mean, because I'm pretty sure you have friends and you guys have like missioned things in common. So I would start off with the individuals that are right there in my circle and ask them what it is that they do. And I do know too that there are certain boards that have certain missions that might resonate with you. And I think sometimes that they ask for applications for board membership. So that's something that you can do as well. You know, I'll mention it with American Red Cross. It kind of happened twofold. It was serendipitous because one of Savannah's her classmates' mom, we were talking about something unrelated, and she mentioned the American Red Cross. And then I had also seen like a flyer marketing banner about the pet program. And so it kind of happened at the same time. I followed up with the director, and things kind of got rolling then. So really, it's just having a curiosity, you know, wanting to, you know, help your community, whatever area that is. Like I said, I tend to focus more on child health issues, but it may be the environment or whatnot, but there's something out there for everyone. So it's just, you know, I would start with, you know, the people that are in my sphere of influence, and then maybe just going and doing some research and seeing what else is out there. But oftentimes, you know, if it's a nonprofit organization, they need a board, they need advisory committee members, that kind of thing. Another group that I work with is the African American Wellness Project, and that's a small nonprofit out of Oakland. And so I do some things with them too. So there's, you know, there's something out there, and people are always willing to have people that are reliable, engaged, you know, focused, because we all need good people on our teams to make things go well.
So, you know, and thank you for that, because that is so very important. But I have a question. And my question is, where do you get all the energy? Because I look, I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, how does she keep it? How do you keep it all together?
Yes.
Because I
And
look, I'm like getting tired, but then so much older, but it's like, where do you get all your energy? And to be efficient and to be reliable, and I know your work ethic. So, how do you do it?
yeah, thank you for that question. I'm thinking about how I'm going to answer. Like I said, I think just naturally I'm energetic, focused, just excited about life. One of my hashtags that I use on social is hashtag vibrant life, because that's just what I exude. That's who I am. And I just think it, for me, I think it comes from not having much as a child and being grateful, being so grateful, you know, having this woman who did not birth me, but raised me, and just, you know, and just wanting to give that back, and just wanting to let just the world know, you know, gratitude, just how grateful I am. And so, and I just, life excites me, right? So, you know, and it's funny, I came here though because I mentioned that I have a spouse, and sometimes he's like, you don't make time for me, you know, and I'm like, you know, that makes sense, you know. So I came here too because I said, hey, I kind of want to slow down and be here, you know, be present, be in the moment, cook every night, you know, and I cook every night, maybe now except maybe once, one or two nights, but cook every night, be
That's
here, you know,
amazing.
because that's something
Amazing.
of course I was not doing. And so being here just helped me to kind of slow down, and I pick and choose what it is that I want to do. And so that goes back to me saying, you know, not trying to do everything, but just be intentional about the things that I want to do. So there's select things that I do, and that's how I do it. But like I said, it's just like this nat I just have this natural, you know, rhythm of doing things, and that's just how, that's my makeup. And I understand that that's not everybody's. I don't need a lot of sleep. Do I try to eat healthy? I walk every day, you know, do my exercises, that kind of thing. Because, and I just had my lab works done. My lab works are just phenomenal. So I'm just in a good place, you know. And then I just want to be a role model to my girls, you
I
know.
love that. Oh my goodness.
That's very important to me. And And I think they know that too.
They
Yeah.
do. Oh, my goodness. And you said something, you said a lot of powerful things, but I want to go back to that. You said, my lab work. I take care of myself. I walk, I exercise. And you know what? That is the one thing that women, we put ourselves on the back burner and put everybody else up front, and we take care of the husband, the children, the dog, the cat. And then we look around and say, oh, okay, I'll do something for myself. And you know, having your regular checkups and your mammogram, your DEXA scan, your thermogram, whatever it is that you need to do it because there's only one of you. And the other piece that when you were saying that made me think about, and I always use this example, the airline has it. They got it right. They say if you know
Yeah.
there's whatever it is in the air, put the mask on you first,
Yeah,
on the child.
absolutely.
Because you put it on the child, you're knocked out. Well, you can't give from an empty vessel. You fill that vessel up and to overflow, and then you can give something out to somebody else. So thank you for saying that, because that is so very important. And you also said, you know, I'm just an energetic person, you know, and if your level isn't her level, then you have to find your pace, whatever it is. Wow. Oh my.
Absolutely. Because, you know, when you start, because I actually had a friend like that at one point, and she's like, I just, you know, I want to be like you. And listen, I'm like, be you know, and don't compare yourself and think that I'm better than, think that you're less than, think that you're more, you know, don't do that. Just be okay with you and do what you do, because we all have unique talents, you know,
Yes, we do.
contribute. And there's enough sunshine for us all. You know, we could all be successful, you know.
That's right.
You
That's
know?
right. I love that.
Yes,
Yes, ma'am.
yes.
Lord
Yeah.
have mercy. So, Dr. Hosley,
Yes.
what is your ending? What is your last words that you want to leave us with? Any kind of wisdom, discernment? What you've been doing that the whole time, but I mean, what would you leave us with that you really want to hit it home today?
Two things, and this is, I do have this one down for in writing. One of my role models is Marion Wright Edelman, the founder of the Children's Defense Fund, because one, you know, she's a children's advocate, brown like me, just fierce. And one of her quotes is, "If we don't stand up for children, then we don't stand for much." And I just think that, you know, children are our future. You know, they're so vulnerable, and they just need us. And so we should stand up for them whenever we have the opportunity. So that's one. And then two, our family motto is to soar with the eagles. We teach that to the girls. You know, we just tell them, you know, you could fly higher and higher. And flying with those eagles will just kind of traject you into a, you know, another space. And so I tell them to do that, you know, focus on schooling, focus on making the world a better place, and soar. That's it. That's hashtag soar. I just tell them, keep on soaring. I'm so proud of them, you know. Erin, I haven't spoke much about her. She's our youngest. She got it accepted into AVID. I can't think of what it stands for now, but it's a program for those that are focused on college and college preparatory. And she had to go through an interview process and an application process. And she was a little hesitant at first, and we encouraged her, and she got in, you know. And you know, and she's starting to do photography lessons and tap into that skill. And so they're soaring, you know. They're both amazing. And I'm, you know, I'm happy to have a loving partner, and that we can be models to them and help them succeed in life.
My goodness, what a blessing! What a blessing! And there was something I was about to say, and then it just went out of my head, so I'm keeping it back. But you two are, oh, You two are amazing models. And the thing about it is that you have opened up a world for them. It's about what your children are exposed to. And the more they're exposed to in the world, that their possibilities, the more that they see people that look like them, or just exposure. And I say kudos to you and your husband. I really do. Because that's really what it is. It is, you have exposed them. And, as parents, it isn't so much of what you say, it's what you do. And they're like little old sponges just soaking it in, and they're watching mama and daddy and all that you do. So I would just say give yourself a pat on your back because you've done some amazing work. You really have. And I'm honored to know you and grateful to know you.
Same here, Pam. I'm grateful to know you too. I adore you. I do. And that's why I'm just so honored to be on your show. I remember, I talk about my humble beginnings, but one of the things that my mom made a priority was traveling. And we would budget, we'd have to budget for it. We drove cross country to from California to Disney World in Florida. We do a lot of things, and she also exposed us to the arts. So we went to different community plays, and I went to a play with her in Vegas. So I saw The Lion King, and that's one thing that I'm doing with my girls. Like being here, when we first got here, we would do the MWR trips. Those are the trips that are by the military, and we get on the bus. But now we are able to do our own trips. They know how to navigate the train system. I mean, they're like, no, we get on this go. And it's just so amazing to see how much they have grown, both of them. I feel totally confident going anywhere in Japan with them. And they have a love and a zeal for that. And my National Medical Association conference was in New York City this past month. And one of the things that I've never done, I've been in New York several times, I had never seen a play on Broadway. And I said, I want to take them. And so we went to see The Notebook, the musical on Broadway. And I'm just like, wow, look at how full circle life is, and it was
Something.
just great. And so yeah, and I think about that because when you said kids are sponges, I remember I was a sponge soaking that up from my mom, and now I'm able to pay that forward with them. So yeah.
I love it. I love
Right.
it. I love it, Dr. Hosley. Thank you so much for your wisdom, discernment, and just your transparency and willing to share. I'm just very, very grateful. Thank you for joining us, and hopefully you will come back because
Yes, I
I know
will.
you have so many other things to discuss. We love you and just thank you so, so much.
You. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
You are so
I
welcome.
love you.
I love you back. Thank you all for joining us today on Passion and Purpose. It's been wonderful to connect with you, and I hope you found our conversation as enlightening and inspiring as I have. A huge thanks to our guests who contributed to the discussion and share their experiences and insights. Your stories are the heartbeat of this podcast, and it's a joy to explore our passions and purpose together. I'm Pamela, reminding you to live with passion and purpose. Until next time, take care and keep reaching for your dreams.